Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Alchemy of Life podcast. I'm Steffi, and today I have an extra special guest. In fact, I can unapologetically say my favourite guest of all time. It's my husband, Will Ashurst White, or Will George Kenneth Ashurst White. Will has been my most requested guest, and today, as well as answering my questions, he will also be answering yours, which there was so many of. So thank you for those. And thank you, Willie. Welcome to my podcast.
Hello. Very happy to be here.
We are in the midst of facilitating a retreat now, aren't we, Willie?
We are.
And you are our incredible plant-based chef here at White Light Yoga Retreats. And I just want to take this moment to acknowledge you and your growth and your talent, because as you know, but our listeners don't know, you get the most incredible feedback from our retreat guests. And so while it might be hard for our guests and our listeners to believe that it's only been 4 months since we left London and you left your corporate job to experience a new way of life, in so many ways, this has been a really natural transition for us, hasn't it?
Yeah, completely. Like, it's just, it's been the smoothest of kind of changes, really. Everything, so many things have changed and so many things haven't changed.
And so in this moment, how do you feel?
I feel bloody anxious to be on your podcast. You've had like 4 bangers. So I'm honoured to be here. I've got a little bit of, what's it called? When you shouldn't be here, or you think you shouldn't be here.
Imposter syndrome.
A bit of imposter syndrome, but I'm up for it. I'm going to get into the swing.
So, well, everybody wants to know, what was the work that you did before?
So I used to work, I always find this slightly embarrassing, but I'm not really. I used to work for a gambling company, a sports gambling company, and my job was to, this company was very focused on the UK, and my job was basically to launch our brand into lots of different countries. It was a kind of fast-growing business, and they wanted, basically the aim of the game was to try and get into as many countries as possible and build as aggressively as possible. And it was my job to launch our brand into each of those countries and basically start the business in various countries in Europe and all over the world.
And this is something that like you dedicated your life to, like in terms you went to a business school, you studied business at university, and for the last like 10, 15 years, you've kind of worked in this realm, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I left school and I did a business management degree, and then I spent the next like, how many years is that? 10, 15, 12, something like that, years. Like doing this kind of work. So it's kind of like brand management, marketing, basically, marketing, advertising, that kind of thing.
And so it's kind of like worlds away from that, the life and the work that we are currently creating. Can you share with our listeners what really was the catalyst for leaving your corporate work and everything that you'd studied hard and worked so hard to kind of accomplish?
Well, I think the simple answer to that is you were the catalyst. You've been what you were wanting to get out of life. You wanted to get out of London for years. And I was sort of, I was very happy doing my thing and kind of focusing on my job and trying somewhat unsuccessfully to like climb this ladder and be this, you know, this marketing
guy. Not unsuccessfully. Well,
You're incredibly successful. Yeah. But not like, you know, I'm not. Blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
You know
what I mean. Yeah. You weren't like the CEO
exactly.
of like some multi-billion pound company.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And I think, so you were kind of, you wanted to move for ages. I didn't see it and was kind of like, right, how's this going to work? Because we're married now and we're going to have to find a way for this to work. And then COVID happened. And lots of things just started lining up, I think. Like it all just, I don't know. I feel I've spoken to loads of people about this, and I think COVID kind of acted as a catalyst for many people in many ways. But that was kind of like, I don't know. My job also changed a bit then. Like, we got a bit more corporate. I kind of moved into like a global role, which was more interested in like how you do stuff instead of like what you do. And I was just like, this is not for me. Like, this is not exciting. And this is kind of, I properly fell out of love with it then. And then that kind of, that aligned with us being like, let's go to Mallorca.
And interestingly, through the work that we're now doing, facilitating these amazing retreats for all these beautiful souls who come and share their time with us, there's been a real common thread in terms of COVID and the pandemic and lockdown and people working from home. And that has magnified for a lot of people, it seems, when they don't love their job, because you're kind of left to your own devices, you're working from home, you don't have the joy of your colleagues around. And if you don't love your job, I think it can really bring it to the surface. And as a kind of spectator watching it unfold for you, I feel like also a thing for you was certainly the lockdown aspect, not having the going into your office, meeting your mates, and the whole kind of atmosphere of going for drinks after work, all of that was taken away. So I think for people who maybe didn't absolutely love their work, it was like, oh wow, I really don't love my work. Was that true for you?
Yeah, I think that was part of it, because I wasn't physically there. And so I think probably lots of companies are having big problems with engagement, or have had problems with engagement, because you lose something by not being there in person. You're kind of, I don't know. I found myself just kind of falling away. You know, mm-hmm. I cared less. I lost interest. I just fell off, really.
And as you just kind of described there a little bit, everything kind of came into alignment for us. And for so many years, you know, you're kind of saying there it was like all me, but from you as well, there was definitely like a desire and an interest and a curiosity to potentially do something like this. But really, for such a long time, the reason it wasn't happening is because we were so focused on the how. And a lot of the people who message me and they have like dreams of this, or they're really inspired, or they want to start fresh, try something new, or move to a different country, we're so wrapped up in the how. And for me and you, I think for many years, even in those 2 years when we knew we wanted to move, like in 2020, 2021, literally until the start of this year, literally until March this year, when we literally got in the car, we didn't know the how. Like, and for us,
we still don't.
For us, a big thing shifted when we stopped focusing on the how and we focused on the why. And I think it's like, sometimes the how can seem so big, like there's so many hurdles to overcome. We can get so caught up in the mind, but something shifted when we just focused on the why, and also this softening and this deep trust into like, ultimately, there is always a way. And that's kind of been a bit of a mantra for us, hasn't it? When lockdown was on, we couldn't even access Spain. We weren't even allowed into the country. Even when we were in the van trying to come here, I had like files and files of like articles and papers like of why we were allowed to cross the border. And it really wasn't until we got here that we actually knew we could get here. Isn't that true?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think we both just had a... an innate trust and just believe, like knowing really is kind of the word, just knowing that this is like what we wanted to do.
What was the scariest thing, or is the scariest thing, about leaving your job and leaving London?
Nothing. There was not.
Or what was the doubt? Or is there a doubt?
Well, I guess one big thing is like money, isn't it? I had a stable income, like a good income, and pretty much overnight that just kind of went. So, I guess that was the big thing, which I was like, oh shit, like how's this going to work out? Like, what am I going to do? But just within weeks, really, of getting here, we started, yeah, we started launching our sort of our new business and our new offering. And that hasn't been as much of a it hasn't been a concern. I think I have, maybe it's not the money thing, but it's more like a what am I adding to the party thing. Because I guess one way or another, you attach value, like you attach your worth to kind of, you know, like what, how much money you're making or how, or what you're bringing to a relationship.
And like, when you say you just mean people, society.
Yeah, I guess so. So I think probably some subconscious part of me was like, well, I'm sort of like contributing financially to us, to our relationship. And then when I left my job, I wasn't. So I was like, oh, fuck. So what am I doing? Like, what am I adding? Like, what value am I bringing? And how can I be, yeah, how can I chop that bit of my value, as it were, out and build somewhere else?
And alongside that then, how has your perspective on prosperity, abundance, and creating wealth changed since we've kind of got here? Because you shared there about maybe your first doubts, and sometimes it maybe is lingering, and this work around attachment of value of yourself to money, mm-hmm. and to a salary, and to like the certainty of like a paid job every month. Yeah. But now that we're actually here and living and creating the work that we're creating, how do you now feel about prosperity, abundance, and the possibility for wealth?
That's a big question there. I have to like wrap my brain around all of that. I think I'm a big believer in kind of what you put out, you get back. And so I just think the more I can offer other people, the more I can give to other people through what we're doing, through the retreats that we have here, and the various other offerings and, for want of a better word, products that we're offering. And oh, I've just lost my train of thought totally there.
That's okay. Keep going.
What's the question?
Just like, how has your perspective on like what actual abundance, wealth, and prosperity like actually the opportunity for creating wealth outside of the structures and the systems that are set for us? Actually, when we move away from that, I feel there's so much more possibility for wealth creation and what we're doing compared to like you having a set salary and ladder. Like for me, the potential right now feels so limitless. I feel like what we're creating is just, even wealth wise, like so huge.
Yeah, exactly. So I think when you have that job and that stable income, you're within, you have like boundaries basically. And I think now that we're not living in that kind of way, I think you're right. It becomes boundaryless, boundless. Mm. And yeah, I just feel like I've got a lot to give. Mm. And all of it comes back round, you know?
Mm. And I think some of like the main reoccurring questions from my Instagram followers was like, this sense that you have to give up something almost to be able to come and do something like this. And how do you feel about that?
It's just not how I think about it. I think loads of people have asked me kind of like, you know, what are you going to do? Like if it goes wrong, or like, what are you giving up? That kind of thing. And I just, it doesn't even come into my head. And I don't, It's not from a place of anything other than just like a deep knowing and a deep sense of feeling like we're on the right path. Mm. So, yeah, I don't think in those terms, and I hope that doesn't come across as like arrogant or in any way, but I just feel like we know deep down what we're doing.
And we are where we're meant to be, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's like an absolute trust in that, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And so when you got that, you know, what else do you need?
Mm. And lots of people have asked about like your plan B, which you've just kind of touched on there. And yeah, I mean, I could answer this for you, but go for it. Like, what's your plan B?
Sorry, I answered your question. So same answer. There isn't one really.
And what we've spoken about a lot, Will, is like, if it doesn't work out, whatever that may be, or like there is a failure or we decide we don't like it or whatever, which could totally happen. For me, that's not plan B. That's still plan A. It's
just
rolling.
Just on to the next bit. Yeah,
just
exactly.
Evolving. There's no plan B. It's like, it's okay if it fails. It's okay if we choose to like something else. It's okay if we decide to move. Mm. That's like plan A. It's called life evolving.
I think that, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I think that question, not to like slag off the question too much, but that's...
No, we love the question.
That's the whole... Love the question. Thank you for the questions. But yeah, like that's the whole... That's the mentality, isn't it? That I just don't... For whatever reason, that just... It's not how we are approaching it. I mean, yeah. I like a good plan and I like a good like backup plan. And like when I'm cooking or whatever and something's going wrong, I'm like, right, boom, like what, how can we fix this, what are we going to do, what's the backup? But for the big, you know, for the kind of the big stuff, yeah, it's just, it's not how we're thinking about it.
What is the
feeling about it?
What is the most exciting thing about your life right now, about what's unfolding? What are you most excited about?
Potential, freedom. Yeah, like just the sky's the limit. Like, as we said earlier on, the rails are off, the boundaries are off, the rules are out of the window. It is, you know, it kind of feels like the world's at our fingertips. Everything is a possibility.
Mm.
Anything could happen.
Mm.
Like,
yeah,
open to getting all over that, whatever that looks like, whatever that turns out to be.
Mm.
And that is a pretty cool, feeling to have, you know? It does feel like a big weight off. You know, when I look back, I just think, yeah, I felt so restricted being in a job, like doing this thing, which I enjoyed. But I guess when you look real deep down, you're like, this is kind of bullshit, or this isn't actually what I'm here to do. And I've not figured it out at all. Like, we've not figured it out. I haven't had a, you know, don't feel now enlightened and like, you know, everything's sorted, but there is a big feeling of opportunity, and that is exciting.
Mm. And
you feeling that?
Absolutely. And the growth as well, just like in front of me, like that I get the opportunity to witness. And the feedback from all of our retreat guests over the years, friends and people that we've had the opportunity to meet, they all say about you that you have this really unique and very special gift that is this balanced energy between the masculine and the feminine. And for our retreat guests, which are so often women, what a privilege and honor it is to witness and be with a man who's so connected to the feminine energy. But at the same time, you are such a lad. And it's like, it's a really beautiful, beautiful thing. Have you always been like this? Or can you pinpoint a moment or shift in your life when you started to connect more to your emotional body and the softer qualities within you?
I've always been very, like, sensitive. But I think it's a thing that you hone, you know. Being your husband and being in this environment, you know, and being a part of the experiences that we create, it kind of does that to you, you know? It opens you up.
Mm.
If you're not experiencing, or you're not encouraged to experience that kind of those kinds of feelings, then yeah, you probably keep the door closed.
Mm.
And I don't think I'm any different to anyone else. Like when people say, you know, they're not spiritual, they're not emotional. Like, to me, that's not true. Like, we're all human. We're all spiritual. We're all emotional. We all have divine feminine. We all, you know, all of it. We are all of it. I don't think anyone's different. really, or you know, can particularly access things which others can't. But it's about, I guess, like trying to unlock it or find it or be open to it, and like develop it.
Mm. And
so many of my mates who are so, you know, I'm not emotional. It's like you fucking are. You just won't open the door.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I guess that's something that we both get teary-eyed about, is that the privilege and honor of our life, that we get to sit in these circles, these safe space, these ceremonies with people, usually women, and you're the first person to cry. And it's,
stop it.
And it's like, I honestly know that, like, what a privilege in this life to be here in this existence and to get to be in these spaces, which a lot of people just maybe in this lifetime won't be. And as you say, it's that safe space that enables us to be vulnerable, to explore ourselves and to open up in front of each other, which is ultimately like exploration of self and then connection to one another. And I think that, yeah, isn't it just like the biggest privilege?
It's a gift, absolute gift, to meet people, you know, almost on a weekly basis. And all of those people, for what, you know, there's various reasons people come on our retreats, but the common denominator is that they are, yeah, they're open. Mm. And they, that their doors are open. Mm. And they want to explore and they want to discuss and they want to feel and connect.
Yeah.
And that's mega. That's like, that's what we're here for.
Isn't that an honor to
facilitate that, yeah, and be part of it? It's that. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And so just when, you know, at the beginning of our conversation, you're saying like, ooh, like, you know, it's all amazing and we're so lucky and, you know, it's only been 4 months. There's also like this real solid, I mean, look at you when you just light up and speak about all that. Like, what more do you need or need to know?
Yeah.
And yeah, I always feel that. What an honor, because so many people don't really have these soul connections or get to experience them like we do. And so I don't take it for granted.
Especially in the last few years, right?
Yeah.
It's been the most disconnecting,
yeah,
the most separating, the most... yeah, like distancing time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a privilege when the world feels like it's becoming in some ways less connected to be flying the flag for connection.
And so what has been the greatest challenge in your life so far, and how have you navigated it or are navigating it? Do you have any insight to share? What's been your greatest challenge, do you feel? Doesn't have to be a big thing. It could be small, big.
No, I think it's just being, I think trying to explore and make the most of all that, like all that I have and all that I am given, you know?
And what do you mean by that?
Well, just, we only get, well, maybe we get more than one life, but we're in this life.
As Will Ashurst.
Yeah, exactly. In this skin. And you got to go for it. And you've got to experience everything that being me in this life has to offer.
<I'm gonna cry. laughs> Yeah, keep going. It's amazing. We've got tears. It's wonderful.
Wisdom, we have tears.
Yeah.
And... yeah, the challenge is experiencing all that there is.
And what do you mean by that's your biggest challenge?
Well, because...
because what?
Well, I think we live in a world where that's like not always encouraged or allowed to be, you know?
Yeah.
We're so... feels so restricting in how we must be.
Yeah.
And what we must do.
Yeah. How beautiful. And, but that's, you know, that's a challenge, but also look at where you're at in your life, because so many people would be so inspired by you because you're actually on the journey of discovering like who you really are and what you really want to spend your time doing. And so while it's a challenge, I'd also say like, what an amazing, not achievement, because it's not an achievement, but an achievement in the sense that you're here like exploring it instead of just, you know, what you're getting upset by is the fact that we're not supported to do this, but yet you might not feel supported to do it, but yet look at you, you're here doing it. So when you say it's a challenge, how courageous that you're really stepping forward into this challenge as you perceive it to be.
Yeah. I can't speak at the moment. Not great for a podcast.
Well, yes. I mean, now that I've got you right in the crux of your, sounds like I'm such an evil bitch, but I was just going to lead us into this. So let's
go
there.
We're going deeper, are we?
Yeah, we're going deeper. I mean, I open up a lot about our journey through miscarriage and loss and children and conception and, you know, it was really important and crucial for me and for my healing. It was cathartic almost in the sense to not carry the weight of it. And usually what we see is we see the end product, people sharing maybe their difficulties or failures, things like that, once it's kind of finished, not during the process. And I'm kind of out there in the midst of the process of it all. And what we don't hear often is the other person who's supporting the person going through IVF or loss, like their physical body has had a miscarriage. We don't often hear from the person who's supporting that person, and that person in our relationship is you. It didn't happen in your body, but it very much was your life. And so can you share with us a bit about what that time was like for you, and any insight on that at all?
Well, it was fucking shit. First and foremost. It was horrible, and it was awful for us to be kind of enduring such a thing. But yeah, I keep coming back to this word trust, you know, mm-hmm. And I just keep thinking, you know, I just talked about how what a challenge it is to experience everything that being a human has.
Keep going.
Yeah, part of that is grief, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so whilst there's like there's great sadness.
Yeah.
There's also like great beauty.
Yeah. And I feel personally like through experiencing that great sadness and that great pain.
You're crying too.
I know. Through that great sadness and that great pain, it just like, if we can be courageous enough to keep our heart open, it's like, I just feel personally, and I know through you and through our relationship, like we're just expanding into more and more love. And so like for anyone out there who's experiencing grief, sadness, loss, while it's difficult to do, I know, to keep your heart open and to be in trust, it also is like, for me personally, it's been in many ways like the biggest and best lesson. And it's not like, oh yeah, I'd wish it on other people, or like I'd want to do it all again, or, you know, it's, I'm not bypassing the pain by any means, no. But that sadness and that loss and that experience, I just feel it in my heart. I can feel it right now as we're speaking, like we're just opening into so much beauty, Will, you know?
Yep. Yeah. We just got to feel everything, you know, that comes up, and trust in it all. Yeah,
thank you for that. And it's so powerful to hear a man speak about these things, because we don't hear it a lot, so I know that will be really insightful for a loss. And what are you most proud of us for?
Being that, you know, like going for it, being open, being like open-hearted and diving in, you know, we're both like that, and it's epic because imagine what that looks like over the course of a lifetime.
Yeah, and already what it is. and the magnitude. I'm proud of us for so many things, but I also just know, like, in the last 4 months, like, one of our friends asked us on the phone the other night, like, what have you learned on your retreats? What have you learned about yourself, or what have you learned about each other? And while I always knew it, being married to you, I know more now than ever what an amazing team that we are. And, like, we absolutely were supposed
to... That's not to say we don't have our moments.
Oh, of course. But, like, our gifts so support one another to be their each other's best selves. And, like, the work that we're doing now, it's like I just totally know that this was all meant to be, and we're bringing out the best in each other. And it's, yeah, I'm really proud of us. Like, talk about... like taking what you've learned and really making it into gold. And we are gold, baby. So, yeah, along with that, as you know, this podcast is all about turning our wounds into wisdom. What have you learned the most from the last 3 years? What's been your biggest learning?
Yeah, asking is given. What you put out, you get in. Everything comes back around. Everything you put out, you get back. I have full trust in life and what we're doing. And you better make sure you have some fun.
Yeah.
And you have, and joy. You know, joy is, you know, when everyone says, like, what's the meaning of life? Mm. Like, for me, it does come back to joy.
Me too.
So, yeah, have fun. And there's a lot of joy out there.
And I think that's what's, like, you know, I'm not tooting our own trumpet here, but I really think our offerings are unique, and our partnership in all aspects is unique, because we're deep people with a lot of love and experience in our hearts, and, you know, life experience in our hearts. And it can be deep, and we'll go there, and we're ready to, like, sit in that space with you. But ultimately, we're, like, absolute, like, light beams. And I know that. I know I am. I know you are. And we are, like, full of joy. And that's what people, when they're with us and they come on our retreats, they always are like, God, I just feel like I'm with my friends. And, you know, we really create this light space for people, as well as with the depth.
Yeah, absolutely. That's our mission, isn't it? You know, we want people to feel like they can feel everything, and we want people to feel at home and
to reconnect with their, like, joy.
Yeah, like they belong, and like they can have an amazing time.
And what do you think? One person asked, and I was like, oh my God, as if, like, we are the relationship experts. We're certainly not, but let's try to answer it from a really heartfelt place. Someone asked, what is, like, the key to the success of your marriage? I mean, talk to us when we've been married for 70 years, but we've been together for a decade now. What do you think, in your short time of being in this relationship, you know, it's only 10 years, what do you think is the key to success?
Keeping the joy, you know, keeping the lightness, remembering why we fell in love and what we love about each other, and not get bogged down in all the bullshit.
Yeah.
And all the everyday, like,
niggles,
and you've left your shoes, and like that's just bollocks.
You brought
it?
Sand into the car.
I never bring sand into the house. That is not what I'm doing.
But yeah, to not take yourself too seriously, and to, I like what you said about remembering why you fell in love. We went to this, our best friends once for our wedding present. They gifted us this, like, crazy session with this, like, relationship coach, and
she wasn't a relationship coach, she was a sex coach. she was a tantric master.
Yeah, it wasn't even a tantric master, it was literally like a sex coach. But anyway, one of the great things that I took away from
not
that,
because they thought we needed it, by the way.
Yeah.
We were only just married.
One of the great things that actually she shared was like, sometimes like really go back to that visualization of like what, when you first met. And, you know, me and Will were so young. We were like 25, 26 when we first met, and to like really visualize each other, where we were, what we were wearing, those like butterflies, like,
feeling?
Yeah, the butterflies and like that, like almost trying to like impress each other with your chat and all of that. And that is the man that's sitting in front of me, but just sort of like 10 years later, and to not.
And about two stones heavier.
No, and not to lose sight of that. And, yeah, just even doing that little practice brings
it's
like
amazing,
like we're laughing, aren't we? We're like laughing and giggling, just thinking back to those two young people and that, all those feelings and that connection is like that.
Because that's the
passion
thing that endures, you know. That's the your connection is it's easy to and we are guilty of this probably as much as anyone else, but to get distracted by like the minutiae.
Yeah.
And yeah, what's like it's the connection. And the, you know, it's that special thing which you can't quite put your finger on. Like that's the thing you need to remember. That's the thing that you need to always or never let escape your mind.
Mm. And just before we close, this episode has gone quickly, hasn't it, honey? You're not so scared now.
I still feel scared. I've survived.
Yeah. There's been tears. There's been laughter. We're now out through the other side.
I don't want it to end now.
We're just warming up.
I'm just getting into my groove, you know. I'm just getting my confidence up.
Well, without giving people advice, because by no means are we sitting here from a place of authority. We're just absolutely beginners, little tadpoles in this this journey through life, just sharing our experiences with open hearts. But without giving like from a place of advice, if anyone was listening and they really, they don't like their work, they want to try something, they have this whisper or this big voice within them that wants them to try something new or starting afresh. Maybe they're in their 30s like you, you're 35 and you've started completely afresh, brand new. What would you say to them?
Just go for it. You've got, there's something in your mind or in your heart or in your soul, which is telling you that's not going to leave you.
Yeah.
That's there and you can suppress the shit out of it, but it's going to be there. So you can either spend your life trying to pretend it's not there, or you can take the leap.
Mm.
And go for it.
Mm.
And the chances are that whatever you jump towards will far exceed what you can even imagine.
Yeah.
Right now.
Mm, what your mind can conjure up.
Because your mind, we were talking about this last night, weren't we? Mm. Like your mind is an incredible thing. But it works both ways and it can be very limiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it can trick you into, you know, sticking on the straight and narrow.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, if we're going by our mind and what we think that we're capable of, that's a very conditioned, small, narrow place.
Yeah, absolutely. Lead with your heart, you know, and that's, this feels almost like not.
Don't be imposter syndrome. Believe in yourself.
We can all do it. Yeah. But listen and trust listen to yourself firstly. Mm-hmm. Like what's being said? Listen to it, absorb it, and then act on it.
Mm.
Because. Yeah, I don't think when you look back and you've still got that little quiet whisper in the back of your mind. I mean, this isn't to say like everyone should quit their job and move to Bali and, you know, like be in headstand.
Yoga teacher.
Yeah, be in headstand for the next 3 years. Like, I don't think that's the point. But no. I think the point is like connecting to your heart and to your feelings and to your desires, your deepest desires. Mm. And one step at a time, somehow or another, move towards that, align yourself with that.
With your truth.
Yeah.
With your truth. And we've only been here for 4 months, but we were saying, like, we love London. Of course we do. We lived there. I lived there for about 13 years or something like that. We love London. And a lot of our best friends live there and we feel very connected to it. We love it. But like, literally, I cannot believe that 4 months ago we lived in London. Like we were saying yesterday, I literally can't really imagine living in London right now. We already have so made this our home. And what we came to last night when we were speaking about this is just how adaptable human beings are. And so to also remember that, and like, you might feel stuck in your way or very like, I don't know, but we're very adaptable, aren't we? And we can make any way at our home.
Yeah. Again, it's just like, can you take the limiter off? Can you take the restrictions off and dream big?
And leap into it.
Yeah, and leap into it. And again, it doesn't, it just means, it means, I don't know, it all comes back to like truth, doesn't it? Like, what is your truth? What is singing loudly inside of you? Like, what do you want? What do you need?
And what is your truth to close? What is singing loudly in you, William, George, Kenneth, Asher?
Just give it, just feeling everything, experiencing everything that this life has to offer, being open-hearted and being of service in some way to other people. That's what I want to do.
Beautiful. Thank you, baby. You did it. There's a little more glistening in the eyes. Thank you, Will, so much. You're so brave and courageous, and we're really grateful for hearing your voice on the podcast. And thank you, everyone, for listening. This is the Alchemy of Life podcast. I'm Steffi. This is Will. And we're really grateful for all of your support and your love. And we will see you next time on the Alchemy of Life.